Hello, friends, and welcome. The sermon tonight is entitled, The Lost Cause. The Lost Cause! Because you see, friends, starting your own religion just isn't as easy as it used to be. Back in the old days, all you had to do was get nailed to a tree, burned at the stake, or shot with enough arrows to make you look like a porcupine. But today, dear friends, you look around and what do you see? Times are tough. Competition is fierce. The price has gone up. Nowadays, the Messiah has to give his life and a whole lot more. A modern-day deity like Dobbs has to die not once, not twice, but three times. God in three persons used to just be a slogan. Now it's the only way anyone could survive enough to die enough to get the public's attention. But that's just the least of it. Recession, stagflation, unemployment, and growing bureaucracy have taken away all the profits from self-proclaimed prophets. Hell, by the time the regular church and state have finished feeding at the trough, there's nothing left over. Gone are the days of spiritual free enterprise. Now religions get regulated, licensed, documented, investigated, stamped, filed, briefed, debriefed, indexed, and numbered. It used to be that a new religion was a threat to the system. But today, dear friends, religions, even the new ones, fight to become part of the system. Why? Well, for one thing, you can't have a weekly television show unless you kiss the FCC's ASS. And, of course, there is another catch. You have to become an organized religion. That's right, incorporated and legitimated by the very system you used to be a threat to. Now, we at the Church of the Subgenius have been called a lot of things in our time, but no one has ever accused us of being organized. We're the most disorganized church the world has ever seen, and damn proud of it. Ever notice how organized religion is the one industry that the government never even threatens to tax? Doesn't that strike you as odd? It shouldn't, because it's a symbiotic relationship. That's right. The government wants religions to thrive so they can control the minds of the masses through various church masses. It's called mass hypnosis because they realized a long time ago that it's easier to herd the bodies around on earth when the heads are up in the clouds. Why, they could even get people to kill for them, so long as they told them it was God's will. It worked great then, and it still does now. For instance, nobody wants to die for their country. But to die for God is a goal actually worth striving for. Just as Ayatollah Khomeini, a government with an army of religious zealots, has got the best morale money can buy. And what about that money? What's the most efficient way to collect it? Anyone can cheat on their taxes because the IRS can only audit so many people, but God is the ultimate auditor. Hold back one little penny and you burn forever in hell. Little wonder your money is stamped in God we trust, because as long as you believe in him, the IRS can believe in you. You see, it's a two-way street. The government supports the church, and the church supports the government. We call this secret little agenda the conspiracy. And that conspiracy, dear friends, is what the Church of the Subgenius is sworn to destroy. We don't hate God, and we don't love the devil neither. We love your money, and we hate the way the church and the government rob you of it. We hate the conspiracy between the puppet masters and the pulpit masters to control not only your life, but your life savings as well. That's why we're the only church that wants to pay our taxes, because we don't want any of their blood money or conspiracy kickbacks. That's also why we're the only religion that offers a seven-day Sabbath. None of this 9 to 5, five times a week with one day off and another to devote to mass mind control. No, sir. With us, you control your life every day because every day is your day off. We don't even ask you to come to church because we don't expect you to have a car. We don't want you to have a car or nice new clothes if you have to serve the conspiracy to pay for it. Now just think about this. That polluting status symbol rusting outside in your street depreciated $1,000 the moment you drove it off the lot. Then it obligated you to work up to 5 years to pay it off. 5 years of indentured servitude, or else the conspiracy repossesses your property along with the remainder of your soul. They can't lose, and you can't win. That's the beauty of their system. Oh, and I almost forgot the punchline, the great joke, the last laugh, the grand illusion, the final touch of evil genius to their clever conspiracy lie. All the time, they make you think You're the one in control. Why, sure, they say. It's a democracy. You have a choice. No conspiracy around here, huh? Look over there. Where? Here? In the church that you grew up? Oh, no, sir. Shame on you. God gives you free choice. It's all up to you. No conspiracy around here. Look somewhere else. Overseas, perhaps. But hold on a second. One little thought. If it's really a free country, then how come you have to pay a third of every dollar you earn or else wind up in jail? And if your religion has free will, then how come you have to select it or else burn in hell? No, thunders Uncle Sam. This is a free society. All religions are allowed equal treatment in the good old USA. Yeah, right. Then why is it that when we try to celebrate a simple religious rite, like the decapitation and head launching of Arnold Palmer, we have to use a fake plastic head to do it? Now the Christians, they got to fight to the death in giant state-sponsored arenas. But we can't even launch our own heads. They got the head of John the Baptist served to them on a silver platter. And what do we get? Plastic. Now which headline are you going to read? How are we supposed to compete with that kind of free publicity? Their leaders got stoned with real rocks, while ours have to settle for cheap pharmaceuticals. No wonder our ratings are so poor. Who would you listen to? Charlton Heston parting the Red Sea in Technicolor Panorama Sense Around Sound? Or Ivan Stang rambling on about slack over intermittent mic at KNON? We at the church know the odds are against us. After all, Bob Dobbs has run for President of the United States on 3 separate occasions. He was assassinated just as many times. But did that get him on the ballot? No, sir. Did that get him on the news? No, sir. Yet when Pat Robertson and Pat Buchanan ran for president, you never heard the end of it. Separation of church and state, my butt. But even though we may not have the star status of Pat Robertson, Pat Buchanan, or even Pat Boone for that matter, at least we don't have the conspiracy patting us on the back for betraying our own kind. We'd rather lose fame than frame our fellow followers. We'd rather go broke than sell our soul for a few tokens of conspiracy appreciation. Yes, we'd rather starve than be reduced to spiritual cannibalism. So maybe it is a losing battle. Does that make us surrender? Hell no, it makes us fight all the harder because we know it's better to die on our feet than to live on our knees. And we refuse to bow down and worship their false gods, their false government, and their all-too-real conspiracy. Everywhere we turn, the rules are against us. We know we're hated, haunted, and hunted for refusing to conform. Yet try as they might, they still haven't destroyed us. And what does not destroy us, dear friends, makes us stronger. They may have the political machines, the organized religions, the communication networks, all the police, all the military, and all the money. But we've got the faith. Faith in J.R. Bob Dobbs, the man with the anti-conspiracy plan. How's he gonna do it? Well, let's just say J.R. has some friends in high places. Very high places. So the next time the conspiracy tries to get you down, just remember this. It's always darkest before the dawn. And even though it may appear to be a lost cause, keep looking up. Bob Dobbs will return. Only this time, he will not be alone. Hearing the word of all, praise Bob. Amen.